Okay, ladies, so we're learning the first parak sukkah, and the basic topic has been a sukkah which is over 20 amos tall is not kosher. And the Gemara is going back and forth, and we discussed last time that if you have a sukkah above 20 amos tall, but the walls meet the roof, so then it could be kosher. And we discussed that maybe a sukkah above 20 amos tall could be kosher if it's wide enough. Right, and then the Gemara on the bottom of Beis HaMebeis decides to prove that a sukkah over 20 amos tall, whether it's kosher or pasul, depends on this story, right? So, Meis ve'sukkah, that's gavah me'asrim amos psula, Rabbi Yehuda's machshir ad arba'im v'chamishim amos. Right, Rabbi Yehuda says that sukkah is going to be kosher until 40 or 50 amos. Tosfos already raises the issue, how come you have to say it's kosher until 40 or 50 amos? Right, it's all a bit strange, right? If it's kosher at 50, it should be kosher at 40 also. So basically, it means that's why people speak sometimes. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, ma'ase beheleni hamalka belud." Heleni hamalka was what? She was a daughter of Herod. Is that true? Or something? So there was Heleni hamalka who is in Lud. Shahayza sukasa gavoha me esrim ama. Right, that basically she has a sukkah that's way tall, and everyone comes in and no one says anything. And obviously you see that a sukkah that's really tall is going to be okay. Right? Like Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's proof, because no one said anything to her. So Gemara says, no, Amrila Misham Raya, Isha Haisa, Hupatura Min HaSukkah. She could have a really tall sukkah because women are exempt from sukkah, so it doesn't matter. Amar lahen v'halo shiva banim havula. She had seven kids. Ve'od kol ma'aselo asasa ela pi chachamim. In other words, that the Gemara is really bringing the raya from the kids. So, yeah, she's exempt from a sukkah, but the kids are obligated. And then, moreover, the Gemara says that whatever she did, she only did a pi chachamim. So the Gemara asks, "Lomi lomisnev okol ma'aser lo'asa ela pi chachamim?" Why you have to say that? Says the Gemara, "Hachi gamar ki tamru banim katanim hevu katan p'tur min asukah kevan de shiva hevu e efsha de lo hevu behu chad she'ino tzarech li'imo b'chitim chad she'ino tzarech li'imo as midrabanan ve'iu b'drabanan ma'ashicha tashma okol ma'aser lo'asa ela pi chachamim. Let's pause and comment. Right, pause, comma. Basically, the Gemara says, well, she has seven kids, and once you have seven kids, obviously, one of those kids is going to be a katan she'ein tzarech le'imo. Meaning, as a matter of halacha, a kid who's like super young is exempt from sukkah, but a kid who's around the age of seven is chayiv in sukkah, midrabanan. That's called the katan she'ein tzarech le'imo. If she has seven kids, so presumably one of them is 7 years old. Now, it is possible that you have twins, that you have multiples, no?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I think the Aruch HaNer points out, apparently that's not something that the Gemara is concerned about because that's unusual. So you have seven kids in 7 years. That means one kid at least is seven, right? So that kid is chayiv in sukkah. Aye, maybe that kid is only chayiv midrabanan. Maybe Heleni doesn't care about the rabbanans. So the Gemara answer is no. Everything that she did al pi chachamim. And therefore, Heleni should have been teaching her kid to sit in the sukkah, because this kid is 7 years old and the kid is chayiv in sukkah. And Heleni is a religious woman. Kol ma'aser lo'asa ela pi chachamim. And the fact that the sukkah is over 20 amos tall indicates that a sukkah over 20 amos tall is going to be kosher. That's the Gemara's proof. It's a little convoluted, but effectively what emerges from the Gemara is that a sukkah over 20 amos tall is going to be kosher because Heleni sat in this sukkah with her kid. Ad kan the Gemara. Okay. Now, this Gemara is actually one of the major sources in Shas for the mitzvah of chinuch. And the mitzvah of chinuch, particularly for a woman's mitzvah to be mechanech the kids.
On the woman specific?
Well, the Gemara is talking about Heleni Hamalka. Mm-hmm. So she was a woman. And the woman's chiyuv of chinuch comes up in this Gemara. There, the mitzvah of chinuch in general comes up many places in Shas. And there is a large discussion in the Rishonim and in the Poskim. I gave you some of the sources about maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is only on the father, not on the mother. Now, why that would be, it's really hard to explain this, but it's probably because the mitzvah of chinuch is a subset of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. On a technical level, men have a full-fledged chiyuv of Talmud Torah, women don't. And the mitzvah of chinuch, which is along the lines of Talmud Torah, so it could be that women are also exempted from it. Bahalacha, it's two opinions in the poskim in general. It's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Mem Gimel Seif Katan Beis, whether women are chayavos in chinuch or not. But the simple reading of our Gemara is that women are obligated in chinuch. Heleni Hamalka Komaselo Asasa Ela Picha Chamim. That means that she's listening to the rabbis and she's going to be mechanech her kids, her kid, the 7-year-old, properly to sit in a sukkah, and that sukkah has to not be over 20 amos because she's doing her mitzvah of educating her kids in the sukkah. I think that's what emerges from this Gemara. It's a relatively simple way of looking at the Gemara. So, let's talk about the mitzvah of chinuch, the way it comes up in this Gemara, and maybe we'll have one or two interesting things to say. Did any of you have a chance to look at the Ritva?
We did not. We were focusing more on the Gemara down patch.
So, we'll pause over here in the Gemara. Let's take a look at this Ritva. It's a small enough group. Let's take a look at the Ritva. Here. It's pretty short. Amar Rav Yehuda, Masa Behaleini Hamalka. Let's take a look at this Ritva.
Just because you're obligated to have the child do the mitzvah, you don't necessarily have to do the mitzvah in its full and in to its fullest and the totally
right
kosher way.
So, you know, this is a question about chinuch. I remember as a kid, did you ever see those like little stuffed lulav and esrogs that kids walk around with? It's like a little like toy type of thing.
Yeah, like, so, you've seen like the little toys that kids can carry.
Yeah.
So it's like that, but it's like plush lulav and esrogs.
That's
really
adorable.
Cute. They're so cute.
It's totally cute. Is there any inyan of giving that to a kid as chinuch?
I guess it's like
based on this, for the 7-year-old, yeah, maybe not for the 9-year-old, but
so you're saying
like if you're tailoring it to like Alpi Darko.
Okay, then, so you're saying, I don't know if seven is like an age for plush toys, let's say a 3-year-old maybe, but we could make that case, but the Ritva is saying something interesting, right? Which I think, the Ritva says that the full mitzvah of chinuch is only to give a kid an item that he can perform the mitzvah with, completely. So a plush lulav and esrog, according to the Ritva, you would not get the mitzvah of chinuch. You're already getting a step ahead. You're saying, well, maybe it depends on the age of the kid, which is something I want to get to in like 5 minutes. But just reading the Ritva straight, the Ritva says that the mitzvah of chinuch requires that you give the kid an item that the kid can perform the mitzvah with properly when the kid is older and the age of bar bas mitzvah. Now the Ritva's proof is from our Gemara, which is what?
The sukkah had to be a certain, if it didn't have to be a kosher sukkah,
Right?
Plush toy was okay then.
If a plush toy is okay, so then let's say the sukkah is way above 20.
Doesn't matter.
In other words, the real question is, what's the idea of chinuch? Is chinuch just a general idea that you want kids to do stuff religious? Or is it that you want the kid to do a mitzvah? To do this mitzvah, the mitzvah they're educating them for. If you hold that the idea of chinuch is just that you want the kid to do something that is religious, so then even if the sukkah is over 20 amos, it would be a good sukkah for chinuch purposes. Says the Ritva, the fact that our Gemara says that Heleni Hamalka is sitting in this tall sukkah only because we go like those opinions that sukkah over 20 is kosher, that indicates that the mitzvah chinuch requires a full-fledged cheftza of a mitzvah. Right? We'll use those terms, a cheftza of a mitzvah. So, for a kid, if you want, we'll use lulav and esrog because it's like a good example. If you want to give a kid chinuch for a lulav and esrog, you have to give the kid an esrog. You can't go to the store and save a lot of money and buy a lemon, because it's got to be an esrog, right? That's basically what the Ritva is saying. Now, the question as to how far we go with this is worth analyzing also. And the footnotes on this Ritva send us to a Mishneh Brura in Hilchos Lulav. I think I gave this on the Makoros also, where the Mishneh Brura discusses, can you give a kid, can you lend a lulav to the kid the first day of Sukkot? Remember, ulakachtem lochem b'yom harishon, that the first day of Yom Tov you have to own your lulav. I can't borrow my lulav. Do I get the mitzvah of chinuch, though, if I lend my lulav to the kid the first day of Sukkot? This is actually a very expensive...
Did you use it first?
So the Gemara says that I can't be makna. I can't give my kid a lulav on the first day unless I was already yotze, because then the kid can't give it back to me. But I have a cheap way out. And the Mishneh Brura, cheap really, that it saves you a lot of money. The Mishneh Brura says, maybe you could lend the lulav to the kid the first day. Even though an adult would not get the mitzvah when the adult borrows a lulav the first day of Yom Tov, you have to own it. But maybe for the kid, I could get the mitzvah of chinuch when I lend the lulav to the kid. And the Mishneh Brura has two opinions about this. So the footnotes over here are basically addressing the question, one second, if the Ritva is correct, that you only get the mitzvah of chinuch when you are giving an item with which you can properly fulfill the mitzvah. So if I lend a lulav, you can't properly fulfill the mitzvah with a borrowed lulav. So how on earth can the Mishneh Brura say that that's good enough for the mitzvah? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Ritva says you only get the mitzvah of chinuch. You don't get chinuch with a plush lulav and esrog. You only get chinuch with a lulav and esrog. But if that's the case, that you need a lulav and esrog, how come a borrowed lulav might be good? Yael?
Is it possible that you can't, the child can acquire the lulav, you just can't reacquire it afterwards? Meaning that once you give it to them, they own it. The problem is just that it's that
right, absolutely.
It will no longer be yours. Like there's no idea of borrowing. It's once they take it, it's theirs. Like they have acquired it. Like when you give it to them.
So you're saying that even a borrowed lulav would not be good because I can't get it back after.
Yeah.
They can't. So again, that's part of the issue in the Mishnah Brura. But the Mishnah Brura is assuming no. The Katan can't be kona a lulav and then give it back.
Yeah.
But if you borrow something, you're not kona it. So then the katan could use it for the mitzvah, and the parent would fulfill the obligation of chinuch by giving the katan this lulav. Right? That's really. But what we're getting at is an interesting thing.
I don't know if this is like overly simplistic, but can you just make the argument that even though technically you're supposed to give the katan the full ability to do the mitzvah as if he was over bar mitzvah, but because he's not, there's no notion of like ownership.
Oh, that's interesting.
And like, therefore, like anything that your child owns is yours.
Right. So.
So I guess in that case, even buying can bring the lulav, so to speak.
So you're actually
still the parents.
So you're getting at the direction I want to go, which is as follows. There's a difference between an item which is a lulav and an item which is not a lulav at all. Right? The Ritva says that to do chinuch, you have to have something which is a sukkah, something which is a lulav. A borrowed lulav is a lulav.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you don't get the mitzvah with the borrowed lulav. You had a nice expression. I just like forgot it. You said something. You said something that I found nice a second ago.
That there's no notion of ownership.
Right, there's no notion of ownership. In other words, this is a lulav. There's a question. You can't get biyotze the mitzvah if you don't own it. That's true, but ketanim don't have to own it. I have to give the katan something which is a lulav. Is this item a lulav? Absolutely. You're not yotze with it because you borrowed it? Okay, but you could still get chinuch. Because chinuch means that you handed the kid a cheftz of a lulav. You're saying it in a more elaborate way. You tried to say that maybe it's simplistic. I think it's actually more elaborate. What you were saying is that maybe the katan doesn't have ownership at all, and therefore it doesn't matter. And therefore it doesn't matter whether it's borrowed or not. That is one way of saying it. But another way of saying it is simply that a borrowed lulav is a lulav. And you get the mitzvah of chinuch with a lulav. Let's take this point and hold it for a minute. And I want to take a step back. I'll try to return to this in 2 minutes, just like pause over here. And let's take a step back about the nature of chinuch. When I speak about chinuch, whose mitzvah is it? So we discussed a minute ago, father's mitzvah, mother's mitzvah. Maybe chinuch means that it's the kid's mitzvah. Is the child himself or herself obligated to do the mitzvah because of chinuch? Or do I assume that the child doesn't have any obligation? The parent has an obligation to make sure the child does a mitzvah, but the child doesn't have any obligation.
I want to say the second. My gut reaction is to say the second. That the parent has the mitzvah.
And the kid is off.
A little bit.
And the kid doesn't have any mitzvah at all. Right? That could be. Notice the kid doesn't even have a mitzvah mitzrabanan. Nothing. It's possible. Certainly possible. It's a machlokes Rashi and Taisa, so anything that you say is going to be right. But Rashi in Brachos on Daf Memches, Rashi develops the following idea. You know, the Gemara says that someone who ate a sheet or a midrabanan can be motzi, someone who ate a shir min ha-Torah by benching. Remember, min ha-Torah, I only have to bench if I ate kidei seviyah, if I ate enough to be absolutely full. Midrabanan, I can bench even if I ate a kezias, just a olive size of bread. The Gemara is pretty clear that a person who ate a kezias can be motzi, a person who ate kidei seviyah with benching. So if I only ate an olive size, I could lead benching and be motzi you, even though you ate a full kidei seviyah amount. That's what the Gemara says. So Rashi asks the question, one second, if that's correct, how come a katan cannot lead benching to be motzi a gadol? Right? If I eat a kezias, I can do benching for you when you're chayiv min ha-Torah. So if that's the case, a katan is chayiv midrabanan.
And they can't have the potential chayiv, even if the
person... Okay. So one way of saying it is that they can't have potential chayiv, and that's the way Tosis says, and we'll talk about that in 2 minutes. But first we'll talk about what Rashi says.
He must say, therefore, it can't be that the child is chayiv. It must be that the chayiv is on the
parents. Exactly. Rashi says that a child has no chayiv whatsoever. The mitzvah of chinuch is that the parent is responsible, that the kid does a mitzvah, but the kid is almost like a mechanical toy. The kid has no obligation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Rashi says. That Rashi's in Brachos and Daf Memches. Tosis and Brachos disagrees. Tosis and Brachos says no, that the mitzvah of chinuch is really that the child is obligated. Midrabanan, min ha-Torah, you're not obligated. Midrabanan, you are. That's what Tosis says. Okay. So now, let's go back to that Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned a minute ago. Can a parent... It's a very expensive question, no?
Yeah.
Right? If you hold that you could just lend the lulav to your kids, and the kids get the mitzvah that way, so you only have to buy one lulav and you lend it to the kids, and that's great. If you hold you can't lend the lulav to the kids, you have to buy a separate set of lulav and esrog for the kids, and the ritva says it has to be a kosher set, and the kosher set of lulav and esrog, the cheapest one is going to be like $50. No? So that's an expensive question. So let's try to plug that question in to what we just said. Remember, we just pointed out that there's a dispute between Rashi and Tosfos about the nature of chinuch, whether chinuch means that the kid is obligated, or does chinuch mean that the parent is obligated? It's the parent's mitzvah, and the kid has zero obligation. So let's plug that in to this Mishnah Berurah.
I guess for Rashi, if the full mitzvah of chinuch is on the parents, because it's not going to make a difference to the kid whether or not, from an educational standpoint, whether or not the lulav is borrowed, you can therefore only buy one lulav and lend it to the kid.
Excellent. But according to Tosfos,
because the lulav is actually on the child, it is relevant to the child.
So the child needs something the child would be yotze with, and the child is not yotze with a borrowed one. So effectively what we're saying is that everyone agrees with the ritva that to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, you need to give the child an item, a cheftza of a mitzvah. So it has to be a lulav, it can't be a plush toy. That's stage one. But if it's a lulav, does it have to be a lulav that the kid owns? Or is it enough the kid borrows? Well, that depends. Is the mitzvah of chinuch that the child is obligated? Or is the mitzvah of chinuch that the parent is obligated? Okay, so this is point of introduction number one. Point of introduction number two is something that Rachel mentioned, I think, 20 minutes ago, and I said you were jumping ahead, which is that maybe there's a difference within the age of the katan in terms of the nature of chinuch. Meaning that it's entirely possible that when the kid is pretty young, so the entire mitzvah of chinuch is on the parent, not on the kid, like Rashi says. But if the kid gets older, so maybe the kid is chayiv midrabanan in the mitzvah. No? I mean, isn't that reasonable, just thinking about it? If I have a 4-year-old, so the kid has no obligation, the parents have an obligation to kind of get the kid in the mitzvah mode. But the kid has zero obligation. So the parent wants to make sure that the kid is used to doing mitzvahs. But maybe as the kid gets older, the kid himself or herself is chayiv or chayeves in the mitzvah midrabanan, because now the kid is older. So, on the sources, so I sent you to a Rabbeinu Manoach on the bottom of the Rambam Hilchos Shvisas Asar. Hilchos Shvisas Asar, the halachos of Yom HaKippurim. And there's a din of chinuch to teach kids to fast on Yom Kippur, no? Wasn't this the most exciting thing about being a little kid? Oh, I fasted until...
Oh, yeah, that actually was. Yeah. Yeah, it was the only time I was allowed to fast, and I was really little.
I fasted until lunch. Yeah, I fasted until lunch.
Right, and I had my now 10-year-old daughter. So 2 years ago on Yom Kippur, my wife noticed around the Ela time that she doesn't look good. It's like, Rena, what's going on? 3 years, she's like, no, I'm fasting.
Oh no!
Wow, that's impressive.
She made it.
She did not make it. No, we didn't let her. My wife didn't let her. I was in a different place.
Wow.
But it's like a kid thing that you want to fast as long as possible. The funny thing that happens when you become an adult is that you want to fast as little as possible. But that's the way things go. It's sort of like napping, no? Kids think that naps are the worst thing ever, and adults think naps are olam haba. Right. Okay. So, in the mitzvah of chinuch for fasting, so the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, that when the kid is 9 or 10, so you have a din of chinuch l'shaos, which means that you train the kid to fast some extra hours. If the kid usually eats breakfast, so you tell the kid, eat breakfast later, right? Usually eat at 9, wait till 10, wait till 11. That's when the kid is 9 and 10. But when the kid is ben achas esrei shana, when the kid is 11, male or female, ben zochem ben akeva, misana umashla midivrei sofrim kedei lechancho b'mitzvos. Right, when the kid's 11, you have to fast all day for the mitzvah chinuch. So Rabbeinu Manoach says, what's going on over here? So he adds, this is all in the Gemara, but Rabbeinu Manoach adds a little bit of depth. He says, you know what, when the kid is 9 and 10, there's no obligation on the kid to fast. There's just an obligation that you want to train the kid to get in the habit of fasting. But once the kid is 11, so then on the level of Dirabbanan, the kid is chayiv to fast. And fasting means you have to fast the whole day. Just like the Ritva over here says, that chinuch means you have to do something that is a full-fledged mitzvah. It has to be a full-fledged sukkah, full-fledged lulav. So it also has to be a full-fledged tainis, which means once you're 11, you have to fast all day. But when you're 9 and 10, So that's not a full mitzvah of chinuch. 9 and 10 is just that you're training the kid to be in the habit of doing mitzvahs, but it doesn't have to be the full chetzah of a mitzvah. Yeah.
So if a child is 11 years old and they need to break their fast for whatever reason, are they over?
So again, if you have to break your fasting, you're 40 years old, you know, you have to break your fast.
That's true, but
you know, so you're not really over, but an 11-year-old, we don't really do this anymore, and that's one of the questions, why not? Medina de Gemara, an 11-year-old kid is supposed to fast all day in Yom Kippur. I think the post can say that today we're weaker, whatever it is.
Sorry to clarify, so it's for both boys and girls.
Both boys and girls, being Zohar, being the Kefir.
So it's completely separate than the whole notion of
a
doing
bas mitzvah.
Like the mitzvah or keeping everything the year before.
Okay, so there's a number of like popular misconceptions in Judaism.
Okay,
I think one of them is like that you fast like three fasts before your bas mitzvah or like a year before you start to fast.
Like I did a full year, but I had friends who only did the three beforehand. Different people had.
I think it's a it's a popular misconception.
Okay.
There is no inyan whatsoever for a katan or a ketana to fast any of the regular fast days, because the regular fast days are considered avelos, and there's no inyan of chinuch at all on avelos. Avelos is something that's out of the ordinary. Churban Beis Hamikdash is a dimension of avelos. Again, there might be some wrinkles in this presentation, but there's zero chiyuv of chinuch on avelos. So for all fast days, a kid doesn't have to fast. Yom Kippur happens to be an interesting fast day. It's not Avelos. Right? Yom Kippur is also Doiraisa. So you should fast Yom Kippur based on Chinuch. Again, 9 and 10, there's Chinuch L'Sha'os. And once you're 11, you should fast the whole day. That's what it says in this Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik had this idea that maybe Tainus Esther, there's a chiv of chinuch on, because Tainus Esther is also not a fast day of Avelos. It's like a happy fast day. This is like the first year I ever heard from Rav Shechter when I was in Karen B'Yavne. So I'm sitting next to this shiur. I'm sitting next to Shai Shechter. He took a liking to me. He was like 7 or 8 years old. And like I'm sitting next to him in this shiur. So I like say, Shai, tell me, do you fast on like Tainus Esther? She's like, you know, I don't remember which one it is, but on one of the fast days, my father says I should fast. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, so that was that story. But basically, there's a chiyuv of chinuch, and when it comes to chinuch for Yom HaKippurim, 9 and 10 you fast part of the day, and 11 you fast all day. The Rabbeinu Manoach puts this together in a way that sounds as follows. We had this machlokas Rashi and Taisus. Is the mitzvah of chinuch on the parent or on the kid? Says Rabbeinu Manoach, you know what? It depends. If the kid is really young, by really young we mean before the age of 11, then the mitzvah of chinuch is on the parent, not on the kid. But once the kid is older, the kid's 11, then the mitzvah of chinuch is on the kid also. Right, so what we're doing is we're taking this analysis that we had and we're saying, and this is something that Rachel said a while ago, it really depends on the age of the kid. Now, let's pause. I know we have like a lot of introductions, a lot of comments, but let's pause over here again and let's talk about the nature of chinuch, whether it's on the mother or also, or only on the father, etc. And we noted that our Gemara says that the mitzvah of chinuch is on the mother. Heleni Hamalka, mitzvah of chinuch is on the mother. So Rebbe Kiva Eger over here, on the side of the page in the Goyon Hashas, he sends us to a Tosis Yeshanim in Yuma. No? You see it? You see the Goyon Hashas on the side of the Gemara? Shom midirabanan hu demechayiv. Right? So he writes, Ayin Yuma daf pei beis amid beis, betosis yeshanim dibar maso ben shmona. Looking Yuma pei beis, betosis yeshanim with that dibar maso, ubemasha kasar sham, haisa mechan chasan le mitzvah be'alma. The Tosis Yeshanim writes, right? That the chiyuv of chinuch is only for a mitzvah. Bekashali imkein echamin besugyan kitem a katan shein tzach leimo midrabanan hudim mechayiv yu midrabanan lo ashkecha tashma hafiu midrabanan mechayiv ilcha nechosan v'tzorech in gadol. Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying this like this. The Gemara in Yuma, when it speaks about fasting for Ketanim, so the Taisus over there asks a question. Tosi Yeshonim asks, he says, one second. The mitzvah of Chinuch is only on the father, not on the mother. That's Tosis's premise. So Tosas, our Gemara says that the mitzvah of chinuch is on the mother also. Our Gemara by Halayni Hamalka says that the mitzvah of chinuch is on the mother also. So Tosas Yeshanim answers two things. Rabbi Akiva Eger only quotes one of them. The first thing Tosas Yeshanim answered is maybe in our Gemara with Halayni Hamalka, maybe there was also a father present. And the whole Gemara is not really talking about Halayni Hamalka, it's talking about the husband and like, you know, there's like a whole thing in the world about how like women get completely written out of the story. So over here, women are in the story and they get written out of the story, which is unbelievable. Yeah.
The first comment that we had on it was, no, she's a woman, so she's Pater. So then that doesn't make sense.
Right. So the Trumas Hadeshin says that that first answer, the Tosi Yeshanu, there's a husband in the picture, mamish, you can't read it into the Gemara. It doesn't read. Okay. The second answer, the Tosi Yeshanu, though, is that when Helene is doing chinuch over here, she's not really doing it as a sense of obligation to be mechanech her kid. What Helene is doing is mitzvah ba'alma. She's a frum woman, and she wants to do frum things, so she's educating the kid. But there's no chiyuv of chinuch, because only fathers have a mitzvah of chinuch, not mothers. That's the Taisus Yeshanim. And even though our Gemara says that Helene did it, Taisus Yeshanim comments, well, Helene did it, but she didn't have to do it. Because there's no mitzvah chinuch on. There's no mitzvah chinuch on the mother. So Reb Akiva Eger says, one second, that goes against our Gemara. Because our Gemara says, it's a din d'rabbanan, v'yihu b'd'rabbanan lo ashkecha. Right? Tosi Shanim says, excuse me, Reb Akiva Eger says, one second, our Gemara says that maybe it's a Drabbanon and she's not obligated Drabbanon. You get an impression that's a full-fledged Chi of Drabbanon. And what's going on over here in the Sugya? So basically, let's just review. Tosis Yeshanim suggests that maybe women have no obligation in Chinuch. What about Helene Hamalka? So Tosis Yeshanim says, well, maybe Helene didn't do it as a sense of obligation. She just did it as a mitzvah. Mitzvah not in the technical sense, but mitzvah in the American sense, like in the good deed sense, no? Americans use the word mitzvah, like doing a good deed. Ah. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, one second, but that doesn't read into the Gemara. So we don't know what's going on over here at all. The whole sugya is a mystery. However, based on what we've said until now, we might be able to explain something. So let's take a deep breath. We'll try to explain something, and then based on what we've said until now, we'll try to put a wrench into it. Is the mitzvah chinuch on the parent or on the kid?
It depends.
Depends on two things. Rashi versus Tosus. Then the age of the kid, right, which is what we said from that Rabbi Manoach, right? Let's assume that the kid himself has a chiyuv of chinuch. The mitzvah's on the kid. So maybe that's what's going on in our Gemara. Helene Hamalka the mother has no obligation in chinuch. That's true. But the kid is obligated. And mommy is making sure that the kid is fulfilling the kid's obligation. It could be that this is meduyak in the Gemara a teeny bit, although this is a stretch. In our Gemara, 5 lines from the bottom, b'chitem ha'katan she'ein tzarech le'imo, midrabanan hu demechayev. Maybe the kid, hu demechayev, the kid is chayev in chinuch. And Heleni Hamalka, maybe the idea is that even though she herself was not chayeves to be mechanech the kid, but what she is doing is she's having the kid sit in the sukkah in order that the kid should fulfill his midrabanan chiyuv in the mitzvah sukkah. But this is the way the stapler answers the Reb Kiva Eger's kasha. Okay. Should I review this again? Let's try to say it one more time. Tosis Yishanim says that women have no chiyuv and chinuch. Mothers, I should say, mothers have no chiyuv and chinuch. Okay, if mommy has no chiyuv and chinuch, what about Heleni Hamalka? So Tosis Yishanim says, well, she did it just as a mitzvah. So then they jump up and down. They say, what do you mean it's a mitzvah? The Gemara says it's a din derabanan. Well, no. Maybe the answer is that it's a din derabanan, that the kid should do the mitzvah. Mommy has no mitzvah of chinuch. But the kid has a mitzvah of chinuch. But if the kid has a mitzvah of chinuch, mommy is just making sure that the kid does the kid's mitzvah, but it's not mommy's mitzvah. That's really what we're getting at. So obviously it's not like Rashi, because Rashi says that the kid has no chiyuv at all. But according to Tosis, that the kid has a chiyuv, maybe what mommy is doing is mommy is making sure, Heleni, the mother, is making sure that the kid is doing the kid's chiyuv and chinuch.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I guess my only question, and this is more of a, I guess, grammatical-based question. So for the line, v'ihu b'drabanan lo mishkacha, is that pronouns at all?
Is that...
Like, I guess...
Ihi b'drabanan lo mashkacha. Mashkacha means she doesn't care. She doesn't...
Does it say she, though?
Lo mashkacha. She, Heleni, maybe only...
Oh, so it's maybe she doesn't care about helping
about her kid
kids.
Fulfilling a din d'rabanan. Okay, so maybe she only cares about... helping her kid fulfill what would be a mitzvah d'oraisa,
okay,
but
so
to help her kid fulfill what
okay.
is a mitzvah d'rabanan, she wouldn't care.
Okay, got it. So it does fit.
Interesting.
So, this is all beautiful. I mean, I think what the stapler says is really elegant, meaning women, mothers, have no chiyuv of chinuch on the kid, but Heleni is making sure that the kid fulfills the kid's chiyuv. The problem is... Let's just do the math over here. How old is the kid?
7. He's not 11 yet.
7
anyway.
Max.
Right. And therefore, the kid has 0 chiyuv on the kid's own. If our analysis is correct from that Rabbeinu Manoach, right? So the Rabbeinu Manoach is saying is that, yeah, there's a beautiful idea that the kid himself has a chiyuv of chinuch at some time in history, right? But that chiyuv that the kid has is only when the kid is an older sort of katan. When the kid's going to be like age 11. When the kid's a younger katan, right? So then there is no obligation at all.
So the chiyuv has to be about her.
So it has to be about her. And then what we'd have to say is as follows. Maybe we should go into this next time we learn. Maybe I'll give some sources. The question as to whether mothers have a chiyuv of chinuch for their children is a Gemara in Nozir about Ha'isha Madiris B'Nozir. It's a Gemara in Nozir Daf Chav Tes. It's entirely possible that if you read that Gemara that there's a Machlokas in that Gemara. And it's entirely possible, like what often happens, that some Gemaras in Shas go according to one opinion, other Gemaras in Shas go according to another opinion. So, and Lahalacha, there are two opinions, whether mother is a Chayeves in Chinuch. Now, There's also, and this is like, maybe we'll discuss this next time, but this is like one of my favorite ideas. Chinuch has two different elements, no? When we're talking about chinuch now, we're talking about chinuch in the sense of training a kid to do a mitzvah, which is like a very focused obligation. Like you want to train the kid to shake a lulav, you want to train the kid to sit in a sukkah. It's a very focused obligation. Those focused obligations of chinuch are midrabanan. But there is a mitzvah of chinuch, which is min hatayra, which is to educate children in the general process of Yiddishkeit, to make them feel like they're part of the system. No? The mitzvah of chinuch, which is midrabanan, is focused on the specific mitzvahs. But there's a mitzvah min haTorah of Zechiras Maimir Har Sinai, which is V'Hodatam Levanecha V'Vnei Vanecha Yom Asher Amata V'Vnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. That's a mitzvah min haTorah to make kids feel like they were at Har Sinai. No? And what that means is like to convey the experience of what it means to be a Jew. It seems to me that with chinuch derabbanan, we have a whole discussion whether only fathers are obligated, maybe women are maybe mothers are obligated. Right? That's in terms of the focused chinuch on the particular mitzvah. But in terms of the generalized chinuch of that I want my kid to feel like a Jew and to educate them in what it means to be Jewish. And for that, by the way, you don't need the pratim of the mitzvah. When the Ritva over here says that you only get the mitzvah of chinuch if it's a chafza of a mitzvah, that's talking about like the object-oriented chinuch, like to use computer language. Like the chinuch that is on this particular focused item. But the generalized chinuch, which is a chinuch to be part of Klal Yisrael, a chinuch to understand what Yiddishkeit is all about, right? You can teach a kid what it means to be Jewish without knowing all the details, no? You teach a kid that you make brachas and that there's Shabbos, and you don't exactly know the details, but you know the bigadol. That's a din d'oraisa, that applies to both fathers and mothers equally. I think it's a teeny bit meduyak in Rashi, the Rashi midrabbanan at the bottom of the page. Rashi writes that midrabbanan his kiko lahargos akotim a mitzvah. You have to accustom a kotim to doing mitzvahs. Shehu ro'ila kedeshe mechunach v'ragil la mitzvahs. You want the kid to be trained and accustomed to doing mitzvahs. Again, I'm not sure this is what Rashi means, but I get the impression that what Rashi is saying is that the mitzvah of chinuch that we're talking about is that you should be ragil b'mitzvahs. Get used to doing, right? It's like Richard Joel talk, doing Jewish with Jews. You're getting used to doing Jewish. That's the mitzvah of chinuch min haTorah. And for that mitzvah, unquestionably, mothers have the same chiyuv as fathers. Again, this will require more elaboration and going into other sugyos.
But then why would you talk about midrabanan?
What? So, you're saying, how come we say that's midrabanan? So I think what it means is that it's midrabanan on this particular focused mitzvah, but the issue that I'm talking about bigadol here is that you should be ragil b'mitzvahs, and maybe that issue is a d'oraisa. There's much more to be said, but we'll have to say it a different time. Okay, Chevra, thank you.
Thank you.